You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst of friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
Really good, man. This is a, you know, this used to be a laughingstock system, and it's not so much anymore.
Yeah, it's amazing how well they have turned around, I think, not just their minor league system, but their major league team as well. I mean, their major league team was the Fighting Trouts and now has some interesting pieces as well. Hopefully you have listened already or going to be listening to the Angels team preview that's coming out. But today we're talking about Angels prospects. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB, me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Let's just jump right into it. I think both of us would rather not consider Shohei Ohtani a prospect, but technically speaking, he is. So why don't you go ahead and dive into him?
Yeah, I mean, technically, he's rookie eligible, right? Mm-hmm. So, and you know, he's going to be a fresh entrant into a lot of your guys' leagues this year, obviously. Obviously, his value is something I'm not going to be able to let you fully in on because some leagues he's two separate players, right? Some leagues he's pitcher only. I will say my personal preference, I'm not even really factoring in the offense to anything we're doing with him because I think it's overblown how much he's going to hit. I don't know if you agree with me on that or not. I don't think, you know, everything I've read as a separate hitter and pitcher, as a pitching prospect, people have him as a top five prospect in the game as only a pitcher. But if you make him only a hitter, I've seen reports saying he's not even a top 100 guy.
I don't know. I mean, let's be honest. At the end of the day, we don't know.
I mean, right. I'm just saying that's what I've read things somewhere. That's
not my. I mean, I've read comps to Seth Smith. I've read comps to Jock Peterson. You know, so I mean, it's, you know, at the end of the day, we don't really know. We know that he seems like he's going to be an effective major league pitcher, and I think the hitting is going to be kind of a crapshoot. And if you're in a league like on Fantrax or somewhere like that that allows you to play him as both, imagine I would rank him as you would rank a pitcher, and then imagine the hitting just being bonus. I wouldn't bump him up much extra for being.
That's pretty much what I was trying to say. Right. Yeah. I wouldn't even factor the hitting in if I'm going to rank him as a pitcher. Right. And I think as a pitcher, I keep coming to like a Danny Salazar comp because I think he's going to be. I mean, obviously, everyone can say the Yu Darvish comp, which would be lazy, but I think that actually kind of works itself, too, only because I'm trying to paint the picture of the kind of guy I think Ohtani's going to be at this level. It's going to be over a strikeout per nine, or over a strikeout inning, excuse me, probably 9.5 to 10, but I also think he's going to walk a lot more guys than you think. I think he's going to nibble a lot. That's kind of the way those, not to typecast him, but it's kind of the way pitchers from Japan come over here and do. Even Darvish nibbles a lot, right? I mean, he's not very efficient. I think he's going to get himself in a lot of pitch count issues, and I think with the elbow issues he's got, he might be a 5-and-fly guy a lot this year. So take note of that in quality start leagues. That's my projection, but I don't think in quality start leagues he's going to go deep that often, especially if he's hitting. That takes up energy, right? It's not free. You know, especially if he gets on base, has to run the bases. Supposedly he's a plus runner, which if the Angels ever use him on the bases, that'd be stupid. But and I'm looking at a projection right now, a steamer projection. And I kind of agree with it. I didn't look at it before I aired the podcast. I probably should have done that. But what they have is 11 Ks per nine, 3.5 walks per nine. But I also have them capped at 148 innings, and I think that's perfect. What do you think about innings total? Probably not.
I think
you can't pencil them down for 200. That's out of the question.
No,
right?
I think 150 feels like the max.
Right, because you got to remember, this is the Angels are playing the long game here too. This isn't a 30-year-old, Japanese pitcher coming over. He's 23.
Well, and I think too, one of the things, and I think you've talked about this at length, is that Ohtani is used to pitching one day a week in Japan.
Right, right. He's like a college kid going straight to the pros.
Yeah, and the Angels are actually set up to do that
with
their rotation. I mean, they've got Richards and Shoemaker and Skaggs, Heaney coming back. They've got a number of guys who have a lot of injury issues anyways, so it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to actually add another piece to this rotation in terms of numbers and do a six-man rotation all year.
Yeah, it will work for them. Like you said, they even got guys like Parker Bidwell or stuff. He's not great, mm-hmm. but, he showed flashes, right? J.C. Ramirez. Mm-hmm. And Nick Tropiano should be back. Andrew Heaney, Tyler Skaggs, like you said. So they got a lot of mouths to feed. So hopefully that'll work itself out. And they actually are a strong candidate for that six-man rotation. But I guess, Ohtani is probably going to get discussed a lot in the other podcast. So that's my assumption. I think he's Danny Salazar. So that's just mine. My idea, and I guess we'll go to the top guy in the system now, which I had Jamai Jones. 302, 368, 488 in the Cat League, in Midwest League, 272, 338, 425 combined. I'm looking at 14 homers and 27 stolen bases. That's a nice player. Jamai Jones is a plus athlete. His dad was a football player. Everyone likes that. He had a lot of doubles this year that should turn him into home runs over time as he, gets stronger and learns how to use his body more. He's a natural athlete, like I touched on, plus speed. Should start the year in Double A in 2018, which would be kind of aggressive for him. He's 20 years old, second round pick in 2015. I think this is the dude who isn't getting much hype as a prospect. You don't really hear Jamai Jones talk too much. He should, because he's a nice athletic player, the kind of player that I like to gamble on. And I think he's trying to find him on my list right now. There's a couple Angels in my top list. It's different. I'm not used to typing in Angels when looking at my top prospect list. But it's a good thing. Jamai Jones, for me, if I can spell Angels wrong, if I type in the Angels, it ain't going to help. Angels, I have him right now at 44 on my list. Then another guy we're going to touch on here in a second, Joe Adele, is right behind him at 52. And then they have another guy, Brandon Marsh. And then they have Kevin Maitan. So there's a lot of athletes in the system that, that are emerging and that they didn't have. But I like Jamai Jones a lot. Joe Adele, who I touched on, I know you like Joe Adele. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's Mike.
No, that's me.
I thought it was, yeah, 5 homers and 8 stolen bases and about 200 at-bat sample between rookie ball and the Pioneer League. Elite speed and plus power. Contact rate was pretty decent, 73% and 80% as he moved up the level, which is nice to see the contact percentage improve as he went up. I think he's going to he'll probably start the season next year in extended spring training. It's going to be a slow burn for Adele. He's only 18 years old, first round pick out of a high school in Kentucky. But you're looking at legit upside of, now I'm not banking on this, but 330 homers and 20 steals. Like, he's got the skills for that, the tools for that. One of the knocks coming out of college for him was the swing and miss, which again, the contact rate was pretty nice. The double plus arm, he was a pitcher in high school, one of the best pitchers in the state. The plus arm, the plus arm didn't carry, though. There's a little bit of rumbling he has an arm injury, which would prolong the process as well. So I haven't heard anything about that, but that's kind of in you kind of hear a little bit about that. So that's something to follow. But Joe Adell is a monster potentially. So big swing, but big kid, 6'2", 195 with some projection. Another next guy on this list is kind of a guy that the Angels acquired in another weird roundabout way. Otani was in brand new to the system, and they got Kevin Maitán. Now, everyone's kind of shitting on Maitán because he didn't hit in his first exposure to the States or whatever. I would argue that and say that he was played most of the season at 17, so whatever he does is whatever he does is an added bonus because he should be a high school junior, not even draft eligible. He wouldn't be draft eligible to this year. So put that in perspective. He's not going to play shortstop. Doesn't look like it anyways. He's kind of a bigger guy. Probably has to move to third. Switch hitter. Braves lost him in the scandal because they, bought him a house and shit and let him live in an apartment a couple years earlier than they were allowed to. kind of hid him away from people, which happens all the time, but they just got caught. So they lost Maitán, and the Angels are the beneficiary. They were able to take Maitán's bonus money and apply it toward the 2018 cap system, which I don't know how they were able to do that. It was a weird quirk that was only four of the players in this Braves scandal that got released, so every team could be opened up to them. So they used their slot money for next season on Maitán. He got to keep the bonus from, he got to keep the $5 million he got from the Braves, and he gets to keep the $3 million he got from the Angels. So he actually worked out pretty well for him. But, extremely raw in every facet. But how does someone go from being the next Chipper Jones or Miguel Cabrera to being a washed-out 17-year-old, right? Like, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, the body sucked. He got exposure to American food for the first time. That'll happen. You sometimes lose yourself in whatever, especially coming from another country and you're handed millions of dollars. Like, come on. It's a reasonable thing. The Braves probably had to be prepared for that to happen at least a little bit. But again, getting acclimated in a new country, this will be a nice year for him. I don't know if he's going to have any restrictions as far as playing right away because he's – part of me thinks because he's a 2018 slot money guy, he might not be allowed to play till July.
I don't think there – I can't remember exactly what I read, but I don't believe there are any restrictions.
But which wouldn't be a big deal because if there was, he could still go to extended spring training, you know what I mean, and kind of hang out there. But – I'm going to double check on that because I think that was one of the caveats because if you're using 2018 money, you know what I mean?
I think this is an exception, though.
I'm sure it probably is. Anyways, I'm still in on Maitán. I'm sorry if you paid a premium for him about a year or so ago, but you had to have known it was going to be a while because he was like 16 when you did that. So it's kind of your fault. In a sense, if you pay
thanks,
a big price
Matt.
For it, if you paid that early for him, because there's no 16-year-old in the world that's worth the number one pick in any dynasty draft.
Yeah, I think if you took him number one overall, that was probably a little foolhardy. But at the same time, I don't think you're necessarily, I don't think we're out on him necessarily yet. So.
Right, and. I mean, look at Vlad Guerrero Jr. How much hype he has now. He wasn't even in the conversation as Maitán. Different years, obviously, but Maitán had.
I made the mistake of actually dropping him at one point.
Yeah, Maitán had considerably more hype than Guerrero. Next guy I like is another complete lotto ticket. Brandon Marsh, 2016 second round pick, didn't play because he was a football player, 6'2", 190. Hurt his back, had a commitment to a smaller school in the South to play football. Ended up signing with the Angels. Came up this year in the Pioneer League. Made his debut, 177 at-bat sample, hit 350, 396, 548. 80% contact rate for sitting out a full year. 4 homers, 10 stolen bases. I think this guy's a potential stud. It's going to be a really slow burn, 5% walk rate, so that needs to improve. It's going to be a little while for Marsh, but he's a high upside type guy that you need to take advantage of. And, the Angels coming out hot right now with these four real high upside players. I mean, Ohtani, Jones, Adele, Maitán, and Marsh makes five. Five players with considerably high upside. That's not many systems in the game can say that. So it's a new era definitely out here. The Angels are probably in the top half of the league in minor league system if you still count Ohtani. So it's different for sure. Matt Theis, I'm out on him. First baseman with he had 9 home runs in just over 500 at bats last year. Yeah, he has advanced bat to ball ability and he has above average draw power, but the swing, he's in a crouch and he doesn't really unlock the swing enough to tap into that power. And I think he's a 10 to 15 home run first baseman, which means I'm not owning him anywhere. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Jamie Barria is a probably a mid-rotation arm for the Angels, but he's their top pitching prospect. No, he's the number two pitching prospect in my eyes. Number two, ERAs are always great. Peripherals are always great. Not a huge strikeout guy, but he averages about 1.9, 1.8 walks per nine in the minor leagues, and that's really nice control. Good command control guy. Strikeouts are going to be about 7 or so per nine, probably a number four starter. But, he should help you a lot in the ratios. Griffin Canning, he's my favorite Angels prospect. UCLA arm. Struck out over 10.5 per nine in college. Angels shut him down because of the heavy workload. I think he could be a number three. He's got that typical drop and drive delivery, which is famous for UCLA, and kind of Vanderbilt guys have kind of the same motion there. So I like Canning a lot. Didn't pitch this year, so I'm anxious to see him in pro ball. I like Michael Hermosillo. He was a nice kind of upper minors guy. I think he just hits, and I think he's a fourth outfielder ceiling, which isn't all that sexy of a profile, but he's a guy that just hits. He's from a college, from Eastern Illinois up by me, small school, especially for baseball. And he's a dude that I would invest on in AL-only leagues. If you AL-only league with about 200 prospects owned, I think that's the kind of guy you want because he should be up pretty fairly quickly. Another high upside guy, shortstop, Leonardo Rivas, 20 years old. Made it to the 19 years old last year, made it to the Midwest League. Walk rates are extremely nice. 21% in Orem, which is in the Pioneer League, and the Midwest League was 17% as a 19-year-old. So that's strong walk rate, should stick a shortstop. Doesn't project for much power, but the hit tool is nice. Trent DeVoe is a 17-year-old that the prospect that the Angels signed for $1.2 million. 80 grade speed. He's a it's hard to get the upside for these guys. 6185. Just got some projection. Probably hit 20, maybe 25 homers with good speed. I question the hit tool, but he's also 17, so I'm not diving in too deep on Trent DeVoe. A lot of other guys. Chris Rodriguez is a nice arm that I like. Taylor Ward is a backup catcher that's some reason on everybody's prospect list. I don't understand. Brendan Lund is a role player. Julio Garcia is a glove for a shortstop. Jake Jewell, Jose Suarez, Jose Castillo. Castillo and Suarez are high upside Latin American arms. Castillo, they got from the Cubs in the Joe Smith trade. Castillo has a chance to be something, but he's years away. Jose Soriano, same kind of difference. 19-year-old pitcher. I think he's all projection. Good command guy for his age. Angel system is nothing to scoff at anymore. It's a mixed collection of talent. Obviously, they have the best player in the world who's still young as well, so that doesn't hurt. But Angels are decent, and they're coming for you a little bit here. They're moving up their minor league list.
All right. That's going to wrap us up for this episode. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. Me on Twitter at Justin Mason, FWFB. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season. Every night I get you on the telephone. We sleep and we talk and we play till the dawn. Trying to get a handle on who we are. Sleep on night. Phone off the hook, fire.